is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
He gives gifts, He provides resources, He gives all of this, and He gives it abundantly so that we can be effective and for His glory. His intention is that we invest these things, our lives, our very being, for the sake of His kingdom, for His glory. Today we're going to address the idea of investing ourselves. Does it matter what we do, or if we do anything? And does it say something about us if we don't? This is an important subject in a culture where so many don't know what it means to be a Christian. Because there's this idea that you just kind of acknowledge it in your head and you're a Christian.
As believers, we've all been given spiritual gifts from the Lord so that He could use us to help build up His kingdom. As Pastor Troy continues his teaching through the Gospel of Matthew, he'll be exhorting us to use the gifts and resources the Lord has given us to be a blessing to others. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Do you guys remember the show The Jeffersons? If you don't, it was a black family, and they really had a lot of fun, and they had a maid, and she was a black maid, and she always kind of talked back. And there was one episode where George Jefferson told his maid Florence, he said he was all proud of himself, and she always talked back to him, put him down and stuff like that. And he said, you know, I was working, I was out there, and this famous producer told me, George, you are a living example of what America is today. And he was so proud of that. And he told Florence, who always puts him down, this famous producer told me this, Florence, I am a living example of what America is today. And she said, well, you sure are. Your hair is in recession and your mouth is inflated. she was not the example of the most respectful servant, right? Housekeeper, maid. But that was the tension in the show. That was the idea of the show. But let me just say, though that's funny, the Lord isn't all that impressed with that kind of a servant. It's not funny to Him when that's how His children speak to Him. I believe He does have a sense of humor, for sure. I mean, He uses us. But He doesn't expect disrespect from us. He establishes roles that we're to live in. He gives gifts. He provides resources. He gives all of this, and He gives it abundantly so that we can be effective and for His glory. His intention is that we invest these things, our lives, our very being, for the sake of His kingdom, for His glory. Today, we're going to address the idea of investing ourselves. Does it matter what we do, or if we do anything? And does it say something about us if we don't? This is an important subject in a culture where so many don't know what it means to be a Christian. Because there's this idea that you just kind of acknowledge it in your head and you're a Christian. But there's a little more than that, it seems, as we look to the scriptures. Jesus is nearing His death, and He's teaching His disciples by parables about just how serious this call to the kingdom, to be a part of the kingdom, is. Especially in terms of how the servant spends his time and his resources given while the master is away. And so we pick up in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had one and received just 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he went away and he entrusted his servants with his goods. He gave them something to work with while he would be away. And he's speaking to his own disciples here. It says in chapter 24, verse 3, that the disciples called to him privately. So he's with them. This isn't large-scale teaching here. This is teaching those who would be followers. And it's a warning for those who would say we're going to be followers, but don't follow. He gives resources. He gives them something that they are to invest, to put to good use, to put to work for him, for his kingdom. And it says that he gave to them according to their ability. Notice the talents don't represent their ability. The talents are what he gave them, and he gave them talents according to their ability. Which means he gave them what they could handle. Maybe you wonder why you don't have more talent. You probably couldn't handle it. It would go to your head and puff you up and send you straight to hell. God doesn't want that for you. So he doesn't give you more. He doesn't give you more opportunity than you can handle. He doesn't give you more than you can handle. Now, we pursue those things, but he doesn't give us those things so that we overwhelm ourselves and forget God. A talent was a measurement of weight. And depending on if we're talking about gold or silver here in the talents, it would be as worth as little as at least 2 years' wages. So this isn't just this isn't like a penny for you, $5 for you, $1,000 for you. Some got a lot, and some just have a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. Even that one who had the 1 talent, it was a lot. You know why? Because this represents heavenly resources. Resources that we have, that even the little we have can be very effective for the kingdom. So these are heavenly resources. And the point is this. He gave according to their ability so that they would be without excuse to invest it. The test of faithfulness here is how did each one of these invest what they were given? Not more than they were given, not something that they weren't given, but what they have, whether you think it's a little or a lot, was it invested? See, we all have gifts. We all have abilities. We've all been through experiences. We have resources that are entrusted to us by the Lord. And there's a work to be done in his absence that we're to be about. We're to be investing in his kingdom. That was the picture here of he returned after a long time to settle accounts. Gave you something to invest. I've gone away. I'm going to come back and see, what did you do with it? Did you serve me with it? Or what did you do? We're going to settle accounts now. The settling of accounts was the idea that our work or our willingness to invest what he entrusted us for him, that our willingness to do this, our faithfulness to do this, will reveal, 1, our faith, and 2, our faithfulness. That's the significance of the delay here. The one who goes away and he waits. He gives us something to do. He gives us a command. He gives us resources to fulfill the command. And he goes away and he says, if they believe in me, then they will be busy with what I've given them to do what I've commanded because they believe in me. But if they say they believe in me, but really don't, then they won't. And that'll be a sign. And he comes to settle accounts. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith. You see what trials do, difficulties do? They test the genuineness of your faith. Because when it gets difficult, And you serve a God and you believe in a God who is and who rewards those who persevere and has something at the end of all of this. Do you hang in there or do you go, you know what, I'm out? The trials prove the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having seen you, who having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Lord's not interested in happy faith. Got faith when things are good. Things are hard. Now, I don't even know if there is a God. Can there really be a God if he allows all this stuff and then you're gone? But real faith. The faith that he sheds in our hearts. When he fills us with his Holy Spirit, there's this encounter we have with him that we can, those who have this encounter, and you know this, if you've had the experience, you could never deny God. You could never deny him. In your fear, you could probably, and I think God enables you in these moments too, but you could probably, in a weak moment, just to get out of pain, maybe say you don't, but it's not true. That may be able to happen. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Peter did it, and it'll be one of the worst things you ever experienced. To go away and live with that, you'd think, I'd rather have died. In fact, I think Peter probably thought that because Peter was willing to die after that. But to experience the living God, you have a faith that just you can't walk away from. It's an experience. It's an encounter. It's a work that God begins to do that you can never deny. And there's a genuine faith in that heart. And it's a faith that works. We'll talk about what those works look like a little later. But let's look at what happens when he settles accounts. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. There were only 2 categories here that they fell into. There were those who were the faithful servant, and there were those who were the wicked, lazy servant. Now remember, this is a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Here's a good picture of what it's like, what it's going to be like. And so we're looking at this. We're trying to gain understanding from this about what it's going to be like. The other was the wicked, lazy servant. Faithful service here was not based upon quantity. Like, if I have more and I invest more, I get more reward. But quality. In other words, if I had 1 talent and I only invested like a teeny smidgen of that, then I'm not being very, very faithful. Right? If I have thousands of talents and I invest 2 of them and I keep all the rest for me, then I'm not extremely faithful. But if I have only 1 talent and I invest the whole talent, I'm more faithful than the guy with thousands of talents who invests twice as much as me. Do you see how it works? It's in proportion to what God has given you. What have you given? That's why the idea of the tithe, it was a percentage. As God blessed your increase was given and offered to the Lord to a greater degree. So that's the idea of faithfulness. You can look at these talents as your opportunities. Your opportunity to invest what God has given you. And our talents today come in the form of resources, Time is a resource. Talent is a resource. I mean, if you do something well, I could have given all my heart, but the talent is significant to offer to the Lord. And treasure, these things for the kingdom of heaven. Are you using what God has given you to invest in the kingdom of heaven in all of these areas? You may have a greater income. So are you using that income to glorify the Lord? And, you know, I'm not saying give all of it to the Lord and keep just enough to pay your bills. But the amount you do keep, you know, obviously give to the Lord for sure. Offer in the first fruits. But the amount you keep, what are you doing with it? You can still honor the Lord by your lifestyle and the choices. Are you just living luxury? Are you spending on things that aren't good, that you shouldn't do? Are you being real, real wasteful? See, we still honor the Lord even with that which we keep. And there's an accountability. What about time? Maybe you have more time. In this country, some have been blessed with time. Are you giving it to the Lord? Are you offering that time to the Lord? More people get themselves in trouble with time on their hands than money on their hands. Someone once said, free time is the devil's workshop. He loves it because it's your time, and we seem to get into more trouble with more time. Perhaps you have a lot of talent or ability or even experience. Are you using these things to invest in the kingdom of heaven? We need to understand what it is we have. Have you ever stood before the Lord and said, what do I have? What do you want me to invest, Lord? And then you offer that to God. And obviously, He's the one who gives opportunity too. So you can't just force those things on someone too. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thinking you have something, you know, I've got the gift of this. Use me. God's given me this. No, that's okay. We don't need it. So we don't want to impose ourselves either. Opportunity is another gift that God gives. And we need to understand that what we have is given by God and it's for His purposes. What do you do well? Are you offering that to the Lord? And not only that, are you giving the best of it to the Lord? It'd be like this. I've had times where I'm going to, you know, you put money in the little slots or whatever, or you pay someone with some cash, and I'll look in there, and sometimes I'll see some nice, crisp ones, and I'll see the ones that are a little more wrinkled, and sometimes I'll just say, okay, let me take the wrinkled ones out of there, because the crisp ones are nice and neat in my wallet, so I'll keep those. You know, we have that mindset. We kind of keep the best for ourselves. But are you giving the best to the Lord? The best of what you have? It's quality of work. In other words, here's what can happen. You can have a lot of talent. And so, you know what? I'm going to offer that talent to the Lord. And because you have so much talent, let's use music as an example, an easy picture here. You don't practice before because I can do it. You just show up. And you know what? Maybe you show up and you're able to put everyone here musically we have to shame. But see, in God's eyes, you haven't given your best. Those who you're outdoing are giving way more than you because they're practicing, they're trying, they're giving their heart to the Lord. But you, with so much talent, it's like, I'll just show up, and you're not giving your best to the Lord. See, God considers faithful giving, giving your best, giving quality stuff to the Lord. What do you do well, and how are you offering it to the Lord? One of these, this means we need to discover what it is that God's given us. And feeling like you don't have enough is not an excuse. I've heard some say, well, I don't have enough of this. You know, I could help for a little, but I can't hang out too long. Or, you know, what's my little $2? Or, I just don't have very much to give. It's just not very good. And yet the opportunity's there. And God's saying, I want you to give it. Well, what I have isn't very good. That's no excuse. In fact, that was the mindset, I believe, of the wicked, lazy servant. I had one. I didn't want to risk it, Lord. I buried it. I know I'd be a man of high standards. I just didn't feel like, you know, I had all of it that I needed, and so I'm not going to give it. The wicked, lazy servant was the one who made all the excuses for not investing. See, we grow in the Lord through service. Did you know that? You don't have to be good at it, just faithful in it. And we grow by serving God, not just by knowledge. Knowledge can puff us up. In fact, it does puff us up. It always puffs us up if we are not using it, if we're not applying it and serving the Lord with it. So we're called upon. What has God given you? Look at the opportunities in front of you that God gives and be faithful. Use the scriptures to guide those opportunities, because there's an enemy who will also give you lots of opportunities to do things that are not of the Lord. Look at your resources. What do you have? Do you have time? Do you have talent? Do you have treasure? And are they being met with opportunity? Be faithful. Invest them now, because one day we're going to give an account. We will give an account of those things. We grow through serving the Lord. And I think that's the idea, at least one of the ideas, about these guys who were doubling their investment. They didn't wait until they returned. They doubled the investment while they invested, and they got a return on it. And it's the same way when you invest your talent, when you invest yourself, you grow. That's how we follow the Lord. We invest, we find out, oh, this does good. Oh, this opportunity opens. I didn't know I was good at this. And it increases. But not if you don't serve the Lord, not if you're not faithful, not if you don't persevere and seek Him with all of your heart and give your best even through the difficult times. And there will be difficult times. It's to test us. Are we faithful? Are we doing it just because it's easy, because it's what I thought it would be? Or when it's not what you thought it would be, are you going to be faithful? Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, here's what he means by full age, those who by reason of use, or literally practice, they've been practicing their faith, exercising it, have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We grow through service. Faithlessness here. Did you notice that what he referred to as faithlessness here was not rebellion? He wasn't rebelling. It was the result of this, not knowing or not responding properly to the master. See, this man knew the expectations of his master, but instead of investing, letting things mature, he hides it and does nothing with it. There's no investment at all. It's like the person who might come up for an altar call on an emotional plea, and he comes forward and he says, "I give my life, I want to follow the Lord." But then he goes away and he never gets to know his Lord. He never finds out what it is that God wants, what it is that God has done, who God is, and invests himself in the Lord. See, this man did not really know his master because he sees him as a hard man. The others didn't see him as a hard man. The others, when they came to settle accounts, he told them, "Well done, enter into the joy of your Lord." So this guy, he's making excuses, but his excuses only condemn him. And that's why the master says this, "If you knew I was such a hard man, if you knew I had these expectations, then that should have motivated you. If you really believed in me, if you really knew that I was this way, it should have motivated you to work twice as hard, knowing I'm a hard man." So your excuse doesn't hold water. And notice it was the one who had the least who hid it. Was he worried about losing it?
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, right here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible study at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in